Track 14, A Queen in the Sport of Kings. Our historian tells the amazing story of how Alice Massingham, aka Alicia Thornton of Norwich, rode in the Horse Racing Hall of Fame.
Alice Massingham, born in 1782, is believed to have been the daughter of a Norwich watchmaker. Though born 50 years before the invention of the stopwatch, she was renowned for the speed at which she could ride a horse. Indeed, she lived a fast life in every sense of the word. She had two things going for her. She was good-looking, and she was an exceptional equestrienne. She determined to capitalize on these gifts to the full. First, she adopted a different Christian name. Alicia sounded a lot more fashionable than Alice. At some stage, she seems to have adopted the surname Meynell, for no particular reason which I can unearth. It was, however, the name of an extremely wealthy and well-connected family, so she may simply have been hoping that people would infer a connection. As a teenager, she left for the bright lights of London, and her equestrian skills earned her a place at Astley's Amphitheatre, perhaps London's most popular place of general entertainment at the time. Philip Astley had founded the establishment in the late 1770s. It was effectually the original circus. Astley had much in common with Alicia. He was the child of a tradesman and an outstanding entertainer on horseback. He supplemented his own equestrian performances with a variety of performers, gymnasts, clowns, tightrope walkers. The most bizarre stars of the show were a pig that he trained to do sums, and a horse which, having performed a series of card tricks, could then make a cup of tea. Astley's originality attracted the beau monde of London, and it was not surprising that Alicia's looks and performances began to attract attention from his wealthy and fashionable patrons. Particularly taken with her was Colonel Thomas Thornton. He retained the rank even when, following a 1795 court-martial, he had to resign. In the terminology of his time, Thornton was a sportsman. In other words, he lived a hedonistic life, indulging his passion for field sports and travelling with a vast retinue of hunt servants, both in Scotland and in France. The son of an MP, he owned a splendid country estate in Yorkshire. He found Alicia irresistible, and his interest was reciprocated. And why not? Here was the man to fulfil her dreams, offering gracious living, luxurious travel, and unlimited opportunities for equine sport, with an apparently inexhaustible supply of cash. And he had good connections, too. On one visit to France, he'd met Napoleon, and presented him with a gold-inlaid three-barrel pistol. It was auctioned in London in 2006, fetching nearly £40,000. Alice was to live with Thornton for about 8 years, during which time she was afforded the courtesy title Mrs. Thornton. The evidence and the contemporary widely held belief suggests that while Alicia may have hoped that wedding bells would ring out, she was in fact his mistress. Her notoriety arises from events during those 8 years, and in particular those occurring at York's Knavesmire Racecourse. Thornton wasn't just a sportsman, he was a gambler. When an acquaintance of his, a Captain Flint, apparently smarting after being outridden by Alicia at a hunt, challenged her in 1804 to a formal 4-mile race at York, she accepted eagerly. The prize was settled at 500 guineas, an extraordinary sum, equivalent today to about £60,000. This was not enough for Thornton, who backed his human filly in a side bet with Captain Flint for a further 1,000 guineas. This was a huge event right up until 3 years earlier. The race course had also been the site of public hangings, as indeed it had been for the previous 400 years. The victims were first taken through the streets as a sort of amuse-bouche for the entertainment of the public, who then congregated around the gallows. Once dead, the victims were quartered. By the time of Alicia's race, the execution site had moved to the castle. They must have been a bloodthirsty bunch in York. That site was just one of four in use simultaneously. The loss of this entertainment was apparently greatly felt by the public, and the prospect of a race involving a lady jockey, believed to be the first of its kind, was seen as an attractive alternative entertainment, so much so that contemporary sources estimated the attendance at over 100,000, and the 6th Light Dragoons were called in to control the crowd. Since the population of York at the time was little more than 17,000, there would seem to be some hyperbole in the estimated numbers. But the crowd was large enough. And they got their money's worth. Alicia confounded local expectations that she would ride in breeches and turned up colourfully dressed in a leopard-skin top with blue sleeves and a blue cap. She was led out to the start by Thornton on his horse, Vingarillo. Captain Flint was riding Brown Thornville. Alicia had elected to ride side saddle. This offered an advantage to Flint in that it prevented Alicia from using her whip when he insisted that she ride on his left side. Perhaps he was offended at the odds. Alicia was quoted at 5-4 on favourite. The race at 3:30 p.m. on August the 25th was reported as having lasted 9 minutes and 59 seconds, a remarkable precision in an age before stopwatches. Alicia led from the outset and was well ahead at the 3-mile mark when disaster struck and her horse pulled up lame. Her expectation was that Flint would, under the circumstances, pull up as well and allow the race to be rerun at a later date. But the ungentlemanly Flint did no such thing. His eyes focused on his 1,000 guineas side bet with Thornton, he rode on to the finish. There was just one snag. Thornton turned out to be just as ungentlemanly and refused to pay Flint's winnings. He claimed that it wasn't a real bet, just a piece of advertising puff to increase interest in the event. Feelings ran high, very high. Alicia was so offended that she wrote a furious letter to the Times, decrying Flint's discourtesy and challenging him to a rematch. Flint wasn't interested. All he wanted was the 1,000 guineas, which he believed Thornton owed him. At the same meeting the following year, the bet had not been settled, and Flint caused quite a stir by attacking Thornton on the course with a horsewhip. Thornton subsequently took him to court on the issue and won. But in the meantime, the matter of a rematch remained unresolved, and Flint continued to decline to take part. Possibly to assuage Alicia's frustration, or perhaps to boost his own prestige, Thornton arranged an alternative challenge. Alicia was to ride another race, this time against one of the top professional jockeys of the time, Frank Buckle. The event attracted huge interest. Some punters slept the night before in nearby woods and hedgerows, so as to be on the spot to get the best viewing positions. Again, Alicia rode side saddle and stressed her femininity in a purple outfit. She had a considerable weight advantage over about 4 stone, and this may have been a major factor in the result. They finished in a near-dead heat, but Alicia got the verdict by a short neck. This result made her famous, and her fame has lasted. Her achievement has earned her recognition at the National Horse Racing Museum at Newmarket, which holds a watercolour of her by Thomas Rowlandson in the dress she wore at York. The museum entry about the event confirms that it was nearly 150 years later before the Jockey Club recorded a further success by a female jockey. It would be nice to record that Alicia and her colonel settled down to a life of successful racing and domestic harmony, but that was not to be. Thornton's gambling and expenditure reduced his wealth considerably, and it wasn't long before Alicia transferred her affections elsewhere to a naval officer, despite being 2 months pregnant at the time. Thornton didn't waste much time. He married a lady with a fortune, which didn't last too long. Neither did the marriage, despite the arrival of a son. Later, he went to live in France and had 2 more children with a further mistress. He cut his wife and son out of his will, but here he proved a loser as well, as his widow successfully applied for it to be declared null and void. Things weren't going much better for Alicia. For someone who'd enjoyed such notoriety, she seems to have developed an uncharacteristic low profile, though in All Things Georgian, a set of stories of the era, the joint authors disclose that Alicia was at one stage in debtor's prison, and indeed gave birth to a further child while there, and she subsequently was claiming poor relief. She may have died poor, but she had surely known the high life and enjoyed it. Certainly, she had a far more entertaining time than if she'd stayed in Norfolk. And to have been the only recorded successful lady jockey in more than 140 years is an achievement which marks her down as a queen in the sport of kings.